T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, indeed. I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney back with us in studio. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
It's spring. Feels good, doesn't it?
It does feel good out there.
I can see my lawn.
Yes.
Although it looks a bit squishy.
Do not step on your lawns.
No.
Stay off of the lawns. No raking, nothing.
I have a feeling we're going to be start getting questions about our lawn.
Our lawns, yeah.
If you do have, not just gardening, if you have a question about your lawn, call Teresa, call us or text us. We've cleared the lines, 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. I want to mention, Teresa, that our good friends at By the Yard down there in Jordan, Minnesota, family-run business, makes the best patio furniture in the whole world. They bring us this show every week. We appreciate
that.
Thank
you.
By the Yard. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But again, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you know how busy we tend to be get here on the show. So call Teresa or send Teresa your text, and we'll get underway. I know there are some things that that we want to talk about besides getting calls and texts. But a texter did there's bold letters. Help!
Help!
We want to sell our home and just found our lawn was damaged by voles or mice. They're kind of the same thing. Similar, aren't
similar.
They?
Similar. They're very similar.
Mm-hmm. Is there a quick way to get the damaged area growing again?
Well, what they'd want to do is, first of all, wait until it's okay to step on your lawn. That means your lawn has dried out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Lightly rake everything up, all the dead stuff, and then overseed. And then you'd have to keep the seed moist and it'll sprout. If there are ideas that if you put it in the seed in the freezer overnight, it'll actually sprout a little quicker. And just get
is that true?
That is true. Yeah. Well, it does. I don't know. It helps to
dried?
Break the seed coat. I haven't. No, I don't have any lawn, so I just have.
That's true,
I just have gardens. Yeah. So go ahead and do that. Make sure that you buy grass seed appropriate for the location, whether it's a sunny or shady mix, and buy a good grass seed.
One thing you and your colleagues have taught me, you can't just throw the seed in the yard. It has to have some soil contact.
Right. It has to have seed to soil contact. You don't see plants floating in midair with roots hanging down in the air. Those are orchids, and you're not growing orchids in your yard. So you understand that plants need the soil for their roots, so you have to have seed to soil contact. So after you put your seed down, and you want to put it, if you can imagine, a square inch, you want like 5 or 6 seeds in there. That's about how thick you want it, if you can imagine that kind. And you just want then to press the seeds into the soil.
Texter wants, by the way, the text number is 81807. If you'd rather call Teresa, 651-989-9226. A texter wants to know, can preen be applied now?
You know, I really...
Now tell us what that is.
Okay, preen would be a pre-emergent, and it's sort of like a pre-emergent crabgrass. It would be pre-emergent annual weeds in your garden. I would not be putting anything down now.
Okay.
The ground's still frozen. So if we do get a rain, which we could get rain in the next few days, that could just wash off.
Oh, yes.
So you want to make sure that the ground is not frozen before you do this. And for crabgrass pre-emergent, you want to put that down when the lilacs are blooming in your neighborhood. If you have a lot of crabgrass right near your sidewalk in your driveway, you can go a week earlier than that because that warms up faster due to the concrete. If you have a heavy clay soil, you'd want to wait maybe a week afterwards.
Now, as you know, Teresa, we usually get at least one call or text about Creeping Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the question is how to get rid of it.
How to get rid of it.
However, I'm looking at this texter. I'm not sure if this is serious or not. I should assume it is. Where can I find Creeping Charlie starts in the Twin Cities?
You are not going to find it being sold. I would talk to your neighbors. Really and truly talk to your neighbors. Look in your own yard if you need it. So go ahead and talk to your neighbors.
I mean, was that ever? I mean,
yes,
did people
did? Yes, they used to sell Creeping Charlie in the
60s. Because it's, what do you say? It's a mint family?
It's in the mint. It's a wonderful ground cover. It just gets a little too aggressive for what we wanted in our areas. Just like we used to sell buckthorn because it's a wonderful ornamental.
True.
But again, it gets a little too aggressive in our native areas.
All right, tell you what, Teresa, let's go back to the phones.
Oh, yeah.
I think folks have been waiting there. George is calling from Brooklyn Park. Hi, George.
Hi, George.
Good morning, folks. I texted you a couple times on this question, and it didn't come across the way I was hoping. I have a lake place that's on a hill, and there's a Creeping Charlie question, actually. Mm-hmm. You'll probably remember it. I asked about installing it. Mm-hmm. I know in California, in places where grass doesn't grow, they'll put it on hillsides and so forth. What I have up at the lake site is a hill. It's a downward. There's a lot of oak trees and shade.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried several times planting, you know, low light grass. I know you said to get quality grass seed, and you also mentioned there was two different types of ground cover that mm-hmm. could be used that is for low light. I know it takes off. My backyard is actually full of it, and I was talking about taking a sod kicker and taking out some strips and just planting it up there. I think it can be contained where I have the need for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of water that comes down this hill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that also prevents grass from really taking root. When I plant grass, it comes in, but it comes in kind of like thin hair and stuff,
sure.
And it never really establishes. So on one side of this area is a driveway with class 5 or, you know, the rock, and it's not going to go that direction. And the other two directions is the bottom side is the trailer that I have, and, of course, it's all dirt under there. And really, I'm not too concerned about it proceeding underneath the trailer. And the third side
You want to know what, George?
Well, just is that something that can be used in a low light area, and it will establish because.
Yep, you could use that. I'd also suggest if you go online to Google a book called "The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites," and that will have some plants that you can grow on steep slopes. It's designed by produced by Master Gardeners in Minnesota, and that will give you some great ideas for plants that would hold that slope. If you are worried about the Creeping Charlie escaping, as soon as it's done flowering or almost before it's done flowering, mow it. And then just keep it in check with as it starts to trail out, just cut it back or whatever. But if you cut off the flowers, you're not going to have seeds, and so it won't propagate anywhere else in your So that's probably what I think you might have been getting at.
Okay. And especially if George can contain it.
Yep. You want to contain it, especially if you're near other neighbors who might not like it. So do contain it. But, yeah, you can do that. You do need to mow it, though, just after it flowers.
Okay.
Back
to the phones, and then we'll grab some text. Sandy is calling from Minnetonka. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Sandy.
My question is on orchids.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard one time that possibly because they're a tropical plant, they should be drenched with water once a year. And I was wondering if that's true and what time of the year.
Okay, that's not, you don't have to worry about that. You can just give them a little bit of water every week in whatever schedule. In the rainforest, they would be drenched, you know, every day with rain. But that's not what you're going to do in your house. So just regular watering will be just fine with those. You don't have to do a special drenching. If you want to give it a shower once a year on its birthday or something, you can go ahead and do that and make a little cake and enjoy it next to the orchid. But otherwise, just treat it as normal. Just give it its normal amount of water. And remember, it's an air. Most of those orchids are not terrestrial, so they don't grow in soil.
Okay.
Good luck.
By the way, if you want to send a text to Teresa, 81807, here's one that says, live in western Minnesota, 4 foot or more of snowbanks yet. How long do we have to prune apple trees and hackberry trees?
Well, you know, it's the snowbanks don't have anything to do with it. It's the air temperature.
Mm.
If you get warmer temps like we're going to get today, there could be a fire blight fungus in the air. And as you cut that open wound, could get the fire blight in there. So I would say if you have to prune, you clean your pruner, you disinfect your pruner, you make the cut, you put the sealer on, you disinfect your pruner, you make the cut, you put the sealer on, and you do that for every single thing that you cut.
Mm.
Otherwise, I'd wait.
Another question about trees, if I can find it. We're getting a lot of them. Is the timing still right to prune my apple trees?
Nope. If you have to prune, yeah. If you have to prune, it's the prune, seal, disinfect, prune, seal, disinfect. Otherwise, I would wait.
All right. Stand by, Teresa. We're going to take
standing.
A quick break. You are standing, too,
I am
too,
standing today.
Stand by. We're going to take this quick break here. Call in your lawn or garden question or text it in, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Lawn and Garden Show. We call it Smart Garden. Welcoming your phone calls or text messages to Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener. We have both, Teresa.
Excellent.
Putting you back to work. And then let's talk a little bit about what's going on around town.
Oh,
can
sure.
we do that?
There's a lot of cool stuff going on.
All right. Let's see. We would like, texture says, to move established clematis. When would be a good time?
When it's not blooming. So if it blooms really early in the spring, wait till it finishes blooming. But as soon as you can move it this spring, go ahead and move it. Understand it's really brittle. The vines are really brittle, so it's probably going to do, you're going to get a lot of breakage. So you might lose a lot of flowering this year if it blooms on old wood. But go ahead, move it as soon as possible.
Okay. Again, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Is there, texter says, any organic lawn fertilizer and weed killer that truly works?
They do have, they would be in separate packages, but there's a lot of organic lawn food out there. You can find that easily enough. The organic weed killers, I think they're usually things like vinegar and things like that. Mm. I think they might take out your grass too. So you'd probably want a spot treat. And they do work, but it's not like the vinegar you have on your shelf. So there are some, but they do work. You know, you can learn to live with the weeds in your lawn. You can hand pull them and figure out what the weeds are telling you. If you've got a lot of plantain, it means the lawn is really maybe compacted soil. You know, the weeds tell you what's out there. You know, thicken up your grass, your lawn's grass, and you'll have fewer weeds. So,
yeah.
You know, the weeds are there to cover the bare soil. So as lawn owners, we're just doing a bad job and we don't have good lawns out there. So if we thicken up our lawns and grow our lawns and mow them a little higher and have the right soil, right grass and everything, you know, you'll have a lot fewer weeds.
So those weeds are telling us something.
The weeds tell you things. Yes, we have to learn to listen to the weeds.
I tell you what, let's go to Pat, who's calling from Eden Prairie with some kind of solution, I think.
Hey, Pat.
Pat, you're on CCO.
Good morning. It's not really a solution or remedy, but it can really help. Now, like you're talking about weeds, Creeping Charlie is real pretty when it grows, and it's green, my original lawn guy used to always say. But if you stay on top of it, you really can control it. It's tedious work, but, you know, you go to the main source, and if you get down on your hands and knees, and you start softly pulling that those vines, because it's a vine that's on the ground, and they'll easily come up. You'll have 6 and 8 foot strands of vines, and
you will.
If you stay on top of that, it'll really help, you know?
It does really help, and rather than think of it as tedious, think of it as therapy. Garden therapy, you know, and exercise out in the fresh air, and it's keeping you away from chores in the house that you didn't want to do, like empty the cat box anyway. So think of it that way instead.
Yep.
That's a good
okay,
idea.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Just keep
all right,
on
thank
top
you.
Of it. Thank you.
Appreciate that that call. 651-989-9226. Let's see. Larry is calling from St. Paul, I believe. Hi, Larry. You're on with Teresa.
Hi, Larry.
Oh, hi. So I have a dogwood that's about 6 feet high, and I'm wondering if it's too late to trim it back halfway.
No, go ahead. You can prune your dogwoods. Dogwoods, spirea, except for the bridal wreath spirea. Dogwoods, spirea, things like that. Go ahead, and you can prune them.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet.
Very good. Let's see. Text number, by the way, 81807. We were talking earlier, and you were answering the question about preen. Someone has a follow-up. How soon can I put down preen? Some of my gardens are snow-free already.
You want to wait till the soil has thawed. And when you first maybe, you know, just before you see the first, the preen container should tell you when to put it down. The soil has to be a certain temperature, so figure out your soil temperatures. You can go online to find that out if you don't have a soil thermometer. Otherwise, just wait till just about before you think the weed seeds are going to sprout. Understand that preen does not kill like your established dandelions. Preen stops seeds from growing. So it will stop your grass seed from growing. It will stop your cosmos that you wanted to reseed from growing. So you have to understand that when you use something like a pre-emergent, you're stopping those self-seeding things that you wanted to self-seed to grow too.
Okay. Speaking of seeds, you and I were talking before the show.
We were.
Briefly about seeds. Let's back up and talk a little bit about that.
People may not know, but the Master Gardeners have seed trials every year, and a bunch of Master Gardeners get together and they volunteer to grow varieties of seeds or vegetables, and then they give their reports, and you can get those reports online from the Extension. You know, how did the seeds grow? Did they grow? Well, here in Hennepin County, we have a plant sale, and this year our plant sale is on May 18th. It's a Saturday, and we've moved our plant sale this year to Minnehaha Academy in South Minneapolis. That's at 4200 West River Parkway. It's going to be May 18th, but we will have some of those seeds that seedlings that we were growing that have proven very well. They're proven winners, and you will not be able to find those in the garden centers.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to like get some cutting-edge seedlings on veggies and annual flowers, this is a great place to go. 9 to 2, bring a cart or a wagon because you're going to want to buy a whole bunch of stuff. And come early. It is 9 to 2, but usually by like 12 o'clock, it's pretty well empty.
But it's not till May now.
Not till May 18th, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll keep reminding our listeners.
And a lot of the Master Gardeners will be having plant sales. And if you're looking for plants in your neighborhood, check out your own neighborhood because lots of your neighbors may have plant sales. And the plants that grow in their yard are going to grow in your yard. So that's a really good way to then grow plants that you know are tried and true and going to work for you.
All right, Teresa, hang on. We're going to take our break. We have another half hour of the show to go. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, call it in or text it in. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Lawn and Garden Show called Smart Garden. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. You know what we haven't done yet?
We haven't shared the extension site.
Yes, the extension website, which is great reading. Mm-hmm. Winter, summer, fall, doesn't make any difference. Is that?
Go to extension.umn.edu and click on the garden tab and get lost in the wonderful world of gardens and lawns. Extension.umn.edu. And you know, if you forget that, just say grass, UMN, like University of Minnesota. It'll bring you to a grass page, and then you can start going on the website there because sometimes you can't remember these whole websites.
That's true.
But you have the University of Minnesota here, so any kind of plant question, just do your plant question and UMN. You can even put an EDU for education in there or just UMN. It'll bring you right to
something. Bring it right there. Mm-hmm. We'll remind you again before Teresa leaves us today. Call in your garden question or lawn question or text it in. 651-989-9226. Again, if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. 81807 is the text. And let's go back to the phones. Kelly is calling from Andover, I believe. Kelly, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, good morning, Teresa and Danny. I have a question with a couple of perennial beds that I have. Mm-hmm. They have been overcome with what seems to be like a grass-type weed, long, wide blades. I tried to manage it when it first started probably 4 years ago by pulling, and it has simply won.
Sure.
And I'm looking to see, is there any hope to try to rein this in with preen or anything?
Not with preen. What you're going to have to use is, first of all, you have to figure out whether it's a grass or a sedge. It could be nut sedge. You're going to have to keep pulling it, or it could be, not crabgrass, the other grass. I forgot it. Anyway, so that's probably what you're seeing then. It's a perennial, so it's going to come up everywhere in your garden. So you have to pull it. It has long roots, and you're going to have to get all of those. You can paint it with a weed killer that will kill all weeds, and including grass. So that's what you'd probably want to treat it with if you don't want to keep pulling it. Just pull it out as much as you can.
What is plantain?
Plantain is a weed, sort of. It's a very low-growing plant. It has round leaves, and the veins run lengthwise on the leaves. The veins are, Or the leaves can be, you know, 1.5 inches, 2, 3, 4 inches. And then it gets these flower stalks that are just like spikes with little teeny tiny seeds on them.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yep, yep. And it has short roots, so you can pull it out really easy. It's also was called at one time the white man's footsteps because in Native Americans, where all the travelers would tread, they compacted the soil, and that's where the plantain would grow. So that's how we know, one of the reasons we know it grows in compacted soil. It has really short roots. And it is one of those herbs, one of those plants that can be used for health purposes. And some butterflies actually really enjoy the flowers.
All right.
Yep.
Very good. 651-989-9226. Text in the meantime, 81807. Speaking of text, here's one I have. Texter says, large planters on my deck. Each holds quite a bit of potting soil. How often do I need to completely change over that soil, or can I amend it every year with something?
You know, I'd probably take out a little bit every year and add a bunch of compost or some fresh potting soil in there. And as long as your plants are still growing, you're going to be fine. There may come a point where you get down, 5, 6, 7 inches, and it's just turned into rock hard yuck, and then you just need that's a professional technical term, by the way, rock hard yuck, scientific term. And then you would just take it all out and dump it. But for the most part, you can just take off a top few inches or add some compost in every year, and that way you don't have to keep, unless you've had diseases in there. Then if you've had diseases, you want to change the soil or change the plants you grow.
All right. Another text says this, Teresa, can we still trim oak tree branches?
No. You know, I say no, and I said no for the apples. You can do anything you want at any time. However, there's consequences. And if you were to prune your oaks now, there is a possibility that there's insects out there that could have the oak wilt on their little insect feet and vector it into the cut branches on your oak tree. So that's why we say no, not to prune now.
Getting a lot of questions about lawns again, besides Creeping Charlie.
Minnesotans love their lawns.
Of course they do.
They're crazy
people
with lawns. I like that.
What is there, besides Creeping Charlie, that I can plant into my grass that would stay low and attractive when I mow the grass?
Clover.
A blend of grass and other small flowers?
Clover. Look for clover.
Clover.
Clover, white clover is one of the best additives you can add to your grass.
Why is that?
It's a low-growing plant. It can take a little bit of foot traffic, not a huge amount. It does flower, so it's really good for the pollinators. It is a nitrogen fixer, so it's a short-lived perennial, and when it dies, then all the little nodules on its roots that grab nitrogen from the air and soil release that nitrogen and feed the plants nearby.
Wow.
So it's sort of like plant food. And it's wonderful, and it's good for pollinators, and you don't have to mow it that often, so it's because it stays short. But when it's in flower, don't walk on the bees, okay?
Yeah, the bees love it.
Bees love it, but they don't like when people walk on them.
And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let's go back to the phones. Carl is calling from New Brighton with a question. Go ahead, Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Hi. I'm wondering if it's okay now to take the burlap off of shrubs. And once we do that, is there anything special we should do for the shrubs?
Yep. Take the burlap off, you know, shake out the shrubs a little bit, and then just watch. Make sure that they haven't, gotten maybe some winter burn or something. I'd let them come out of dormancy once the soil starts warming up. If you do see that they brown up in some areas, you can cut those brown parts off. But otherwise, yep, now's the time to be undressing your burlap shrubs. It's too early to bring up your roses yet because the ground's still frozen. But, yep, undress those shrubs.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Carl. Pete, in the meanwhile, is calling from Osceola, I believe, with a question. Pete, you're on with Teresa.
Hey, Pete.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I have a patio that I want to establish some privacy, and one of the thoughts I had was to build some planters there and plant some cannas. I know they grow quite tall and can grow pretty thick, but I'm wondering how deep or how high do I need to make the planters? How deep will those roots go?
Well, you know, the roots are going to go as far as you let them. If the planter has a bottom, they will stop there. So, you know, think of how tall your cannas are going to get. You're going to get the 10-foot cannas. They, you know, if you put them in a 1-foot container, when the wind comes, that container is going to probably flip over because you'll have so much foliage above. So you have to kind of think of that too. How tall you're going to, what cannas you're going to grow, and how tall they're going to get. You know, 1 or 2 feet would be fine. That should work for most of your plants. And just remember, you have to bring the cannas out every year.
Oh, okay.
That's nice, yeah.
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
And I noticed, and we mentioned it last week as well, we get a lot of calls from both men and women, of course, mm-hmm. about gardening or lawns. But there are more men that are calling in about gardening than I think we've ever had before.
Isn't
and we
that
mentioned
wonderful?
Last week that more young men are getting into that.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. And I see a lot of young people, the whole family is getting involved, the husband and wife and their kids.
Have you seen that change in the Master Gardener program as well?
We've seen more young men come in, which is wonderful because, you know, gardening is one of those unisex things. You can be anything at all and garden. So it doesn't really matter. It's not a boy thing or a
girl
thing
true.
Or whatever.
That's a good thing to say.
You know, so it's very therapeutic for everybody. So
absolutely.
Everybody should garden.
Text, we just had a call about burlap, and here's the text that says, I took the burlap off my mom's dwarf spruce tree.
Mm-hmm.
The burlap slipped off the top, and the exposed top 5 inches are all brown. The rest of the tree looks good. Should I cut the brown stuff off or just wait?
You know, I'd probably wait a little bit. It probably did get a winter burn, but sometimes it recovers. So I would wait till it comes out of dormancy. If it really is just too shocking to look at right now and it's just, I can't stand that brown anymore and you get upset, go ahead and cut it off. But I would wait and see if it comes out of dormancy. And, you know, once everything else around starts growing and the ground's thawed out. And if it's still brown, then go ahead and trim it out. Yep.
You know, every week, as you know, Teresa, we always like to mention the Arboretum.
Oh, the Arboretum's doing all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
I wonder what's going on there now. I should know.
They're
that,
probably doing some maple syruping stuff.
Uh-huh.
And there's probably, you know, you can get out there and exercise. You can't be probably skiing on
probably
the 3 mile.
Probably not now.
Probably not now. But you could be walking on the 3 mile drive. And they have wonderful gardens inside, I believe. Still, they still have those gardens inside. I could be wrong about that. The
they still have Master Gardeners there, too, occasionally.
Still have Master Gardeners there on the weekends to answer your questions. So go out there and give those gardeners something to think about. Because, you know, especially if you're bored, the gardeners will just talk gardening. And you can just stand there and let your eyes glaze over and just know you're doing a good thing to help the Master Gardener just talk gardening for a little while.
Yeah, and again, if you, and it's a great place to bring friends or relatives who are visiting. You go west on Highway 5 mm-hmm. to 41.
Yep.
And you can
just
see
past
it
41.
Just kitty corner from where the stoplight is.
You'll see all the grapevines and the apple trees and everything.
Yeah.
And you'll go, oh, these are orchard and vine things. Oh, no, that's the Arboretum. And they do research out there. And that's where we found, that's where we've gotten things like Honeycrisp.
Yeah.
All those wonderful things.
And they've got a great
gift
shop as well.
They have a wonderful gift shop, yes.
So there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, let's take a quick break here.
Okay.
We'll get back to our Lawn and Garden show here in a moment. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at By the Yard. Make the best patio furniture. Check them out on the web, bytheyard.net. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is with us, answering your phone calls and your text messages. Teresa, I want to remind our listeners that next, we were talking about here in studio about wet basements. Next hour on the Home Improvement Show, Jesse Treble will be with us the whole hour from safebasements.com. If you've had trouble this season with all the water, about your basement. We're going to talk basements next hour, so keep that in mind.
You know, and with all the snow people had and everything,
they
probably were raking their roof, and now the branches on their shrubs are broken and things like that. So that's just something to consider when you landscape. You don't want to landscape too close to your foundation. You want to leave a good 1 to 2 feet of empty soil. You don't touch that foundation plant, that foundation soil at all if you're not having a problem. You just leave that alone. Don't move it. And then you plant beyond that. And how are you going to rake the snow? Where are you going to put all that extra snow we get?
And it's heavy, too.
Maybe we won't get any snow next year, and so you won't have to worry about it. But you have to consider these things.
You do have to think ahead.
Yep, think ahead.
Sure. All right, the text number, by the way, is 81807. Here's a text that says, we have an older vegetable garden overrun with weeds. Can you discuss the process of using plastic and the sun to kill all the weed seeds naturally and, quote, reboot the soil to use again? How long does this take? What's the best time of the year?
Well, that's called solarizing the soil, and it doesn't work really well in our area. Our sun is so low that it doesn't really get that hot. You have to use 2 layers of clear plastic, and they have to have a little airspace between them. It would take an entire growing season, and what it does is it sterilizes your entire soil, so it kills everything in the soil. So you're not really rebooting the soil. You're killing everything in the soil. So that's solarization. Doesn't work all that well for us. Some people can find it work. Some people don't. Otherwise, it's just a matter of keeping on top of the weeds. Don't let them go to seed. And try to dig up your soil as little as possible because you have a seed bank in there. And every time you start moving that soil around, you're bringing up seeds that are closer to the top, or they now can see sunshine and they're going to go, "Wee, we can grow now." And they've been sitting there for 40, 50 years just waiting for you to do that.
Wow.
So don't give them a chance.
All right. Can you grow geraniums? Texter wants to know from seed. Is it hard and how long to flower?
They do grow seed geraniums. I don't know the length of time. I would think it's going to be quite some time till they get big enough to flower. I would probably have to go to the internet to find that information out. But I've seen seed geraniums in the garden centers. That's what they're called, seed geraniums. So I've seen them. You can do that, but I don't know how long it's going to be.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, we have a lot of text messages. This is an interesting slant. I've heard you, Texter says, talk about this, but what exactly is Creeping Charlie? Is it like ivy? Please describe. Thanks.
Creeping Charlie is very much, it's also called like ground ivy. Some people mistakenly call it Creeping Jenny. It's little round leaves that kind of scallop shape. They're only about an inch, like a size of a quarter or maybe a little bit bigger. A light green. They're very beautiful, very thin vining plant. Thin vines, and it just really runs. It can, you know, easily put on 10, 15 foot per vine every year. And it does have little blue flowers in the spring. It's a very pretty plant.
Okay.
And some people say it makes a nice tea.
That's what I've heard.
And it smells good when you mow it.
All right. And that's as far as we'll go.
And that's as far as I'm going to go because I don't want people to, like, protest when I go outside. No, Creepy Charlie.
I was trying to think of another plant. I remember when another house that we had in Minneapolis, a carpet bugle.
Mm-hmm. What, yeah, that's the ajuga. That's a juga.
That's a ground cover.
That's
right?
A ground cover, yep.
But it's not like Creeping Charlie.
It's not like Creeping Charlie, no.
Okay. So it doesn't spread like that.
It does not spread like that. It spreads a little bit, but nowhere near like Creeping Charlie, yep.
Texter says, my red twig dogwoods are too tall. Where do I cut the branches to achieve a wider plant?
I would go down and to the ones that aren't as red anymore, the biggest branches. Well, you can do three things. You can go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and click on the garden tab and Google renewal pruning or check out renewal pruning. You can cut the plant all the way to the ground and then it will send up new shoots. You can take a third of it down to the ground and take out the biggest ones down to the ground. What you don't want to do is chop it off at 5 feet tall because it looks kind of goofy that way. So if you want to bring down the height, either chop it all the way down to the ground or just take out the tallest ones, the oldest ones, and bring those down. That will cause it to sucker, and it'll get thicker then.
Okay. Let's grab another phone call before we run out of time. Pat is calling from Arden Hills. Pat, you're on CCO.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. Hi there. I have roots from my maple tree that are coming up above the grass, and it's hard to mow over them. So anyhow, I'm wanting to add soil, and then I'm going to put sod over the top because I've tried growing grass and with not enough soil. How much soil do you think I should need?
Well, there's some issues. Maple roots want to be on top of the soil. They will keep coming up. That is just how maple trees grow. You can't really add a lot of soil on top of those roots. If you were going to add soil, it would be only an inch or two, and you could put your sod down. But because you have shade, which, and most sod is a full sun plant, there are a few sods that are part shade, but it's just not going to survive that well. So I would kind of figure out, well, where are the biggest roots, and can I then just maybe, instead of having a lawn there, can I plant a garden there or just put mulch down so I don't have to worry about scalping the roots? Or say, hey, I really want a lawn. I'm going to get rid of my tree, take out the tree, and then have a nice lawn. Maple trees are hard to grow grass under because they're heavier shade. And they do have those surface roots that just want to pop up. So they just don't work well with grass, even the shade grasses. It's just not a good combination. So you kind of have to make a choice. You can keep reseeding, but you're going to have to do that all the time. You're always going to have those roots that come up. So that's the way of the world with maples and trees and grass.
Very good. Thanks,
Sorry.
Pat, for the call. Texter says, yesterday I cut back to 2 to 3 nubs the branches on my PG hydrangea trees. Did I harm them because it's too warm now?
No, They'll be fine.
Oh, good.
That's fine.
Here's a peonies question. These seem to be a hardy plant. I have some large growths and would like to divide and replant. What's the best time of year to do so?
Okay. Peonies would prefer that you never move them and you don't divide them. They don't like that. They have a really big, huge, deep root system. And you would need to dig those roots up. August is usually the best. And you will see when you dig those roots up, there'll be little red points. Those are called eyes. You want to then divide your plant, maybe get three or four eyes per group, and you want to divide the plant and then replant it in full sun. And you want those eyes to be right at the soil depth. They're no more than an inch deep, because if you plant them too deep, they are blind. That's one of the reasons they call them eyes. And you won't get flowers. You'll only get leaves. Understand that when you move a peony, it may not bloom for 3 years or longer. They hate to be moved. They hate to be divided. They just really sulk afterwards. You know, peonies are one of those plants where if they're in a happy place, they can live 50 to 100 years just fine. They don't need dividing. But if you do want to divide it, it's a sentimental plant. August would be the time to do it.
Almost out of time, Teresa. And just a reminder in 20 seconds of that thing happening in May.
The May 18th Hennepin County Master Gardener plant sale. Plants grown by Hennepin County Master Gardeners and also grown for us, some of the native plants. So there'll be vegetables, seeds, vegetables, flowers, veggies, all kinds of wonderful things, perennials.
And the website quickly?
extension.umn.edu, and stay off those lawns.
Right now. Thanks, Teresa. Good
Thanks.
To see you again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.